Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Crowd into it big time again. Hudson has his sign. Nobody on, two out, 1-1 pitch. Here it is. Swinging a high fly ball into center field. That's going to do it. Robles is there. He has it. And then the Nationals win this one, and they are going to the World Series.
Was that Hawk? Did he come back? My God. Mike Shannon on KMOX. Hashtag stay in the fight. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's go down to St. Louis. Check in with our buddy Chris Ronji, 101 ESPN, hosts the Fast Lane in afternoons. Sets all sorts of records with the ratings. What's going on, Ronj?
Hey, dude. That's the first time I heard that call.
Come on.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. I guess he's sick.
Okay.
Like he sounded terrible. Like, that doesn't – that he sounded like he's got the flu or something.
It wasn't him just mad?
No, he doesn't really get that way. But he is – I mean, he's getting up there in age.
Right.
So, like, I don't – I mean, if you listen to the broadcast now, he doesn't sound like he used to, obviously. But he's older and – but he's never done the thing where he's pissed off so he's silent for 30 or 45 seconds.
Or 3 minutes.
That's not really his style.
Well, Marty Brenneman just retired. Has there been any talk about Mike Shannon?
You know what? Actually, I don't really know what the deal is with him. That's a great question. I don't think he's going to do it for a whole lot longer. He's like a lot of the old broadcasters do. They get to a certain point and they don't travel as much. Like, I'm actually not sure if he travels at all. I don't even believe he did the Cubs series. So, and I know Jack Buck did the same thing. And
yeah, a lot of them do.
And Hawk did the opposite. Hawk was at home. No,
so
he was on the road.
Yes, because he didn't want to drive from Indiana, right?
Well, I don't think they wanted him to, because he has something like an hour or hour and a half commute. It's long. And so, you know, he has vision problems, and they just didn't want him doing it, so... That's how that started.
So for a decade he was listening to your post game driving to Indiana every day.
Yeah. Which is
healthy.
And in like the first years when we would do the post game show and then we'd be finished and then we'd still have to go till midnight.
Yeah.
So like the game would be over at 10:30 and we're doing hour and a half post game shows. Hawk got to hear the whole thing and then some.
Did he ever say anything to you the next day?
No.
Oh, okay.
Actually, not really ever. I didn't nobody really said much to me. Okay, do you remember the time that Coop had a few?
Which time?
Oh my God. Well, okay. There was the time in, I think, right away, like 06 or 07, and he had a few pops in the clubhouse, and he was like heading home. And he pulled over and called me.
Oh, yeah.
In the post-game show?
You know, I was doing a show and he called me one night. He had something to say.
Oh, man. I miss that dude.
Oh, man. Well, he's going to be here with the Sox forever, probably.
Maybe. Till he wants to quit, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. It was a nice job putting off the conversation about the Cardinals. Nice job by you.
I wasn't doing it on purpose. Let's talk about them.
World's greatest fans. How did they handle this?
I think like a typical fan base handles getting embarrassed in a league championship series. All right, here's the deal. There are a couple of things. First of all, I've been saying this since I've been in Chicago. Like, I really don't think that most people here think they are better fans than any other fan base thinks they are of themselves. Like, I think that's common everywhere. I think pretty much anywhere you go, people are going to say, we're the best fans in this sport.
I've never heard people say that here. I've never heard that.
That Cubs fans don't say that? Sox fans don't do it. That's true.
No, they don't.
Sox fans do not.
Well, Sox fans rip on their own fan base.
That's right. White Sox fans are like, hey, we're not showing up because this team sucks, and that makes us good fans because we're not idiots. And I kind of appreciate that. The White Sox fan base is just completely different than a lot of others, yeah. I think. But I think generally speaking, most fans think they're like the best. That's number one. So people don't really – I mean, every now and then you're going to get a person that, down here that says, we're the best fan base in baseball. But most people don't. I don't know. It just – it isn't like what –
You know what it is, Chris? It's something that the outsiders have hung on to, and they always bring it up.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And secondly, all right, let's talk about the team itself. Here's – and maybe I'm projecting my feelings onto it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I do think the majority of people down here are like any other team who goes to the NLCS. You're really excited and you're happy, but you're also really pissed off with the way they performed in it. So it's like this, like you can't be too mad because they got there. And it wasn't like their only opportunity in the last 50 years in that position. They've been there before. They've done it. So there's at least the experience of winning that series and then going on to the World Series for a lot of people. So it wasn't like this, you know, like you're the Nationals. It didn't feel like you're a Nationals fan. And if they don't win this series, it's a complete failure of a season. For Cardinals fans, it was like, look, I don't know how much people really truly believed in the team as the year went on. And I think that's residual from the three previous years. After that season, the Cubs beat up on them in the division series. After that season, missing the playoffs for those years, I just think people were kind of like, they're not apathetic. It's not that, but there's, they're not especially happy with the front office for not being as aggressive as they think they could. And here's where that comes from. The Cardinals have, and this has been going on for a little bit, they get like the second best attendance in baseball. And that's behind the Dodgers only. I think the Dodgers drew 4 million people or close to 4 million.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Cardinals get 3-5, and that's pretty regularly. So if you're a Cardinals fan, you're thinking, all right, 3.5 million of us buy tickets every year to go watch this team play. Now, when it's free agency time and Manny Machado's available and Bryce Harper's available – get serious and go get one of those dudes and stop coming in second. And I think Sox fans can identify with that because, you know, what they see is a half-assed attempt to try and get the best free agents. And they always come in second. They came in second for David Price. They even came in second for Albert, which turned out to be a good thing for them. I don't think they'd have been in bad shape if they had actually signed him 10 years ago. Or
Jason Hayward, that was a good thing.
Jason Hayward, they came in second for him too. But people are tired of that pattern of like, look, you make a lot of money. They are expanding that Ballpark Village. I don't know if you've seen Ballpark Village. That's the area directly across the street from the park. It's got the big complex with the bars in it and the viewing area. Well, they're expanding it. There are office buildings going up and living spaces going up there. And a lot of that money goes to the Cardinals. They don't own it outright. I think the company that built the Battery in Atlanta, which is a similar setup with a bunch of bars and stuff, that same company owns this one too, or they manage it, and the Cardinals get a percentage, but still that's income. And you have that many millions of people come through the turnstiles every year. Their thought process is, okay, well, we do our part, now you do yours, and you go get us one of these, go get us Bryce Harper. If we want Harper, go get him, make that happen. You have the money to do it, and they're extremely cautious, and a lot of times they operate like a team that that is small market. Even though they are a small market, they don't have small market revenue.
Yes.
But they still operate like a small market team a lot of times, and that turns people off. especially when you see how expensive tickets actually are. And like, you buy a beer, and this is one of the weirdest things, man. Like, you buy a beer at Busch Stadium, and it's, you know, it's like $11 or $12.
Oh.
And Anheuser, yeah, it's a lot. And Anheuser-Busch is like two blocks away. It's, you know, there's like no travel between the beer and the stadium. It's like Soulard is the neighborhood that Anheuser-Busch is in, and Soulard is 4 minutes away. It's not, it may not even be 4 minutes away. The brewery is really close. And so it is expensive to buy beer. Like, you're at least, depending on what you get, like, you're at least paying $9 and sometimes 10, upwards of 12. It's not cheap. And, you know, I think people, or they look at that and they go, all right, well, here's all this revenue. Now, when we want Bryce Harper or Anthony Rendon, go get Anthony Rendon.
Right.
And they play everything very cautious and prudent. And the feeling with a lot of people here is, okay, well, you're trying to be good enough to keep us interested, but you're not trying to really push and make this a team like the Dodgers or the Astros. Because while they're not going to, you know, go real hard in that direction of spending on free agents, they are also not interested in doing a rebuild. So they're kind of in the middle, and I think that irritates people.
And you're right about the attendance. So you mentioned the Dodgers, Cardinals too. 3 and 4 are the Yankees and Cubs, and those teams are all spending. See, I also don't think – I think some were looking at the payroll and saying, well, they should be happy they're just one of the final four teams. You know, look at what the other teams still alive are spending and the talent that they have compared to the Cardinals. I don't really look at it that way. I think I told you before the year, I had the Cardinals winning this division, so them being in the NLCS wasn't much of a shock to me.
Well, I didn't think they were going to win the division, not at the beginning of the year. I thought they would be in the mix at the end, and I thought it would come down to the teams that, you know, were in it, Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals. And I still thought the Cubs were the favorite, but obviously you guys have talked about a lot their issues they had all year. So
yeah.
The Cardinals, I think, got hot at the right time, while the Cubs and Brewers just weren't quite as good as we thought they were going to be. Because I didn't pick the Cardinals to finish first. If they did, I wouldn't be totally surprised. But going into the year, this is not one of the teams I thought was going to be in the LCS. I thought maybe, like, to me, I was leaning toward a wild card team. That's kind of what I thought they'd be. I think I said maybe 88 or 89 wins or
right.
something. I thought that'd be enough to get them a wild card. I didn't really pick them to win the division. So here's where a lot of people are, and this is where I am too. And you know, by reading Twitter or text messages, the fear a lot of people have is that the team will look at it the way you said, where they will go, well, we made the LCS, so we were right in not trading at the deadline and not trying to make the team better.
And not look at their flaws, yeah.
Right, and so, like, see, we're one of the final four teams. We should be happy about this.
Yep.
There are people who think the Cardinals are going to look at it that way, and instead of the way they should look at it, which is, okay, we got to the LCS. We may have lucked out in getting here because our offense stunk this year. It was not good. It was bottom tier in the National League, but they got enough pitching throughout the year, and their bullpen was good, and their defense was good, so that's why they won all those games. They need to improve their team. I still think they need a starter, and I think they have to improve their offense, and they really have to do a lot of work to improve it if they let Ozuna walk, and it looks like they're going to. So this is already not a good offensive team, and then you saw what they did in the series. They were literally the worst offensive team in a best-of-seven series ever. Like, no team ever was as crappy as they were in a best of seven in the history of baseball. So the way I would look at it and the way people want them to look at it is, okay, how do we make that better now and not just get to the LCS next year, but have a team that can take us to the World Series. But the fear is, and this is coming from a lot of people we see in texts and in Twitter and
what do you think they're going to do though? Do you think they're going to run it back?
I think they're so cautious that they'll try to get better. Here's what they do. they do try to make their team better, but it's on their terms. Like, they never really truly get uncomfortable. And even when they are getting uncomfortable, it's calculated. So, like, I think extending Matt Carpenter before the season was supremely stupid. There was no reason whatsoever to do that. And it isn't a ton of money, but I think it was like $36 million for a couple of years. There was no need to give him that. All you had to do was wait it out and see. You still had control, but they decided to give him extra money. And here's their thought process. It's, well, it's like $36, $38 million for a couple of years, but if he does again what he did last year, that's a bargain for us. So, like, they'll take the bargain risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they'll pay a lot for a guy who is like the Dexter Fowler type. They will pay a lot of money for that mid-tier guy that might end up overperforming and give them value. But they will never pay for the top free agent, the top, top guy. That's the perception. And
if there's value, if Ozuna isn't setting the market, they'd bring back him, or maybe they'll consider Castellanos if his market isn't what some expect it to be. But they're not going to get Cole. If Strasburg opts out, they're not going to get Strasburg, right?
Correct. I think, and I disagree with this. I think they should go hard for one of those two guys in Gerrit Cole or Anthony Rendon. I really think they ought to go after him. Anthony Rendon is a freaking stud, and he's only 29. And I don't care if it's a 7-year contract and he's only good for 4 of those years. So what? Like, that's you're getting one of the best players in the game for a few years. That's what he is right now. So I would absolutely pay that money, but, you know, they won't do that.
He's better than Chris Bryant right now. Not even close.
He is – maybe now people will stop underrating him, but when we talk about the best in the game at that position, it's always Bryant. It's always Arenado. Matt Chapman, we talk about him. People don't talk about Anthony Rendon like they should. And maybe it's because Harper was on that team. But Anthony Rendon is freaking awesome. He's awesome. And I've been saying it for months that I wish the Cardinals would look ahead to him for next year. And I know the Sox fans want him too. And I saw Herb tweet about him saying that Sox fans are dumb for not wanting that guy. Listen to me. Yes, you are.
Yes.
If you do not want Anthony Rendon on your team, you are stupid. He is good. He is freaking good. And I don't care what he costs. You should want him on your team. So I know from this perspective down here, St. Louis ain't going to do it. They're not going to do it. They should be in on it, but they won't. They'll be more likely to go the Josh Donaldson route, where they'll pay 2 years for somebody who's going to be 34.
Yeah.
That, like, that's just kind of how they operate.
Yeah, with our buddy Chris Raji on Sports Radio 670, The Score. My name is Joe Ostrowski. See, it's going to be interesting. They probably will roll it back. We were talking about that actually on the air last night while the game was going on. But the Cubs are not going to roll it back, if you believe Theo Epstein. And he talked for 81 minutes, and he basically said, we're going to tear up this core four, because they've got to get some pitching back, some younger pitching, because that's where they've failed the most. So when you're talking about the Cardinals and Cubs and Brewers contending for the Central next year, before they make the moves, understand that Bryant, Baez, or Contreras, or maybe two of them, are not going to be here.
Well, that's interesting.
As long as the deal is there. As long as the deal is there. But the offense has been broken for a couple of years. Moving Almora or Happ or guys like that, you're not going to get anything in return. Hamels is gone. His contract's up. Lester's at the tail end. Quintana, nowhere near what he was on the south side. Darvish and Hendricks is who you can depend on in that rotation.
I wouldn't mind having you, Darvish, just because he's funny. And because he told a guy to kill himself eating fried chicken, which is it's one of the funniest things I've seen in a while.
And he fought with the Catman on Twitter.
He did?
Yes, yes.
Wait, how? What did he say?
Maybe I saw that. And Herb's nodding because Herb has been blocked.
By you, Darvish?
No.
By the Catman?
Yes, for years.
Oh, David.
And
Pat, come on,
Pat
David.
Pat Fitzgerald blocked Herb too.
Pat Fitzgerald blocked Herb?
Yes.
Anybody? Why?
Who else is on the list, Herb?
PJ Fleck.
What are you saying to these people?
Well, the Pat Fitzgerald one's earned.
Why? What did you do?
I pretty much told him that his tweet about Jeremy Lin was garbage.
What did he say about Jeremy Lin?
Oh, he said that Jeremy Lin is finally, it's good to have a guy who's articulate and represents the NBA correctly. When he was like, you know, in Lin Sanity.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, it was on that.
What in that?
It was on that edge.
I don't remember him saying that, but what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, he.
We know what it means.
I know what it means.
He's
never mind. I know what it means. Holy God. But, okay.
And then P.J. Fleck, I loved him forever. And then I said.
I know you did.
Then
you
I
would
said.
Not stop talking about P.J. Fleck.
When he went to Minnesota, I said he's dead to me jokingly, and he blocked me. And so now he's dead to me.
Again. For real this time. How many times did you guys? Why? It's quite a list, isn't it?
He's such an idiot.
I've never understood. You know, I've said this before, but I guess Herb's one of these people. I just don't understand. If you see something you don't like on social media, I don't understand the need to yell at them or just say something.
I just keep it moving.
I'm like, maybe I'll just mute him and move on.
I get it. Now that I understand, I think there are some times where some people need to be told to knock it off because they're bad for society. That's different than like a, I don't know, a bad sports opinion or like tweeting at somebody because they had a terrible game. Like,
oh,
that doesn't
that's
make
the worst.
Any sense.
That's
I mean,
the worst.
What are you doing, idiot? Don't do that. But I think it's so funny that Herb's been blocked by multiple football coaches.
Speaking of swearing, which Herb usually does at people,
yeah.
How many times have you played the Shilt rant?
A few times. Yeah, we played it a few times. They had a little fun with it.
What the hell?
Like, I like Mike Shilt just fine. Okay, I don't know. I think he's smart. I do. I think he's, and I know all managers are protective and sometimes overprotective. When he does it, for some reason, it rubs me the wrong way. On occasion. Okay, there was a time back in, I want to say June, where they were playing, they were awful. This was back when I was positive they were not going to the playoffs. And he did this, it wasn't a press conference, but it was like after a game or before, and he essentially was like, well, you know, we cleaned up the defense, we're playing better fundamental baseball, like what do you guys want from us? You know, something like that. And I'm like, what do we want from you? We want you to hit. You know, I want you to, like, be good, like, be an actual good team. I don't care how good your defense is. If you're not winning ball games, what does it matter,
right?
So, I mean, stuff like that kind of rubs me the wrong way. But I thought it was really funny when that video got out, because when it's like, I am a champion swearer, and I think you know this. Like, I love it. I love bad words.
Yes.
And when he was doing the rant, he sounded like a guy that had, like, never cussed before.
Right.
Like, ever.
Yes.
And he just was doing it all at once. And I feel like at one point in the video, one of the Cardinals kind of turned around and looked at the other guys like, oh, my God. You know, I don't know.
I deal with that all the time with Eli on our show. You can swear, and then he tries too hard. I'm like, what are you doing? You're forcing it.
Are you talking about the gambling show?
Yeah. Because it's online, you're allowed to swear, and Eli just tries to. I'm like, no, just stop. So now he's gone back to saying freaking. Freaking. Oh, the freaking Cardinals.
Yeah, where it just sounds awkward coming out. Like,
yeah.
that's what Shilt sounded like with that rant.
Yeah.
It just sounded like he had never done it before. Whereas you may have heard the during the Stanley Cup, and I think it may have been Game 7 before the Game 7 against Boston, where Craig Berube did it. Like, that sounded natural. Like, that just coming out of his mouth, it's like, all right, this guy does this all the time. You know, he's always cussing. So, but it's just for some reason with Schilt, it just didn't. And I don't know if that's true. It's just how it sounded to me.
Well, and it's also how he looks. Isn't that part of
it?
Yeah. Like, you didn't expect that to come from him.
No. No, not at all. Like, he just seems mild-mannered, but you never really know how guys are in the clubhouse. Like, what they present to you, it sometimes is entirely different
than
how they are.
Are they scared down there about the David Ross era?
Well, you know, to be honest, we haven't really gotten into it.
Yeah, you've been kind of busy.
Yeah, I doubt it. So is that done, or,
it's,
you know?
They brought in Kapler and Joe Espada this week.
Yeah.
Last week, Girardi came in. Ross came in. Loretta the week before. Will Venable, he's a non-factor. He's already on the coaching staff. It's going to be David Ross. I think everybody knows it. I would prefer Espada, but what I just mentioned a few minutes ago to you, the big thing is, what are they going to do with this roster, because it's going to change?
Well, I mean, you know how I feel. Number one, it's going to be the roster. But I think I do think it's funny, after all the conversations we had a couple of years ago, where people, even Cubs fans, like after the World Series, within 5 months, people were like, okay, that's enough of David Ross now.
Because, I was saying it during 2016. Yeah,
I remember you doing that, right? And now he's going to be your manager.
Oh, so bad. They wanted him to be the manager back then, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, man, it's awesome. But, look, it's going to be all about their roster, I'm telling you. And I know you know that. So they can let Herb do it. Let Herb manage the team.
He'd be better than Renteria, I'll tell you that much.
Would he bunt?
Well, no. That's the point. That's the point.
I love the statistic, and I believe this is accurate, that the Houston Astros, speaking of like doing stuff like not bunting or not intentionally putting guys on base, they had zero intentional walks all year.
Did they really?
As a pitching staff?
None?
Zero.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I know you think managers don't matter, but if you can get me the bench coach from there and he can teach some of the other levels of the organization everything that they're doing and everything that they look at, I'd be in on that. I think you have some sort of an advantage.
Well, today here, because of how bad the offense was for the Cardinals, everybody's wanting Jeff Albert, their hitting coach, fired. And he came from the Astros organization.
Oh, recently?
So, yeah, like he was there just a couple of years ago, if I remember right. And people want him gone.
Of course.
And I'm like, guys, the offense was bad before he got there.
Yeah.
Like it literally was bad.
Well, the Cubs keep firing the hitting coaches. How's that working out?
Well, that keeps happening because there's a difference in opinion with like front office and who the manager used to be, correct?
Right. There was a tug of war going on. Pitching coach and hitting coach over the last few years. They kept changing him.
Yeah. So
now Theo's guy, now Madden's guy. Okay, back to Theo's guy, and guess what? They all sucked, apparently.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the number right now. The Houston Astros were the only team in baseball not to issue an intentional walk. And the next lowest number was the Twins, who issued 10. So,
wow. Another team that had a successful year.
Cardinals had 41.
Second most. Is that near the top? Marlins. Oh, wow. Wow.
The Marlins had 52.
Oh, wow. That is insane. Is the Christmas blend out yet?
Bro, will you stop with that? It's still pumpkin spice season.
I'm sorry. Are you in on that too?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
They have Starbucks down there.
What do you think this is? This is.
I don't know. When I see you, you complain about the city.
I'm only complaining when nothing's open and I need it to be open.
When is everything shut down? 9?
Actually, no. There are a lot of places that are open pretty late around here.
Are you still up every night till like 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't have to be at work till like 1 o'clock, man.
I know. That's true.
It's how I do things. It's comfortable for me.
I thought when you went to St. Louis, you would change your body clock a little bit, especially since everything's closed.
What am I going to do? Get up with the kids?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That sucks, by the way.
I don't have any kids poking me in the forehead in the morning. I can do whatever I want.
Thanks, Ranj.
Bye, Joe.
See ya. Chris Ranji there. The Fast Lane, 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Always enjoyed talking to him. Basically saying, yeah, the Cardinals aren't going to do anything. All those top free agents are not going to do it. It is what we were talking about, Herb, during the game. While they were being eliminated, they're going to roll it back. You know, the Cubs did the same thing a year ago, 95 wins. Let's roll it back. We could talk about change and change coaches and all that, but we won 95 games for a reason. What usually happens when you go a year too long. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena. The season home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. You've got the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
This segment on The Score brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com. to learn more. And by the way, coming up on Tuesday, October 22nd, so following this Bears-Saints game, a couple days after, I'll be doing a Miller Lite Top Draft show with Olin Krutz. I haven't done a Miller Lite Top Draft show with Olin before. Really looking forward to talking to some football with him. And we're going to be in Tinley Park, nice and close to my house, Old Tinley Pub, 17020 Oak Park Avenue in Tinley Park. Tuesday, October 22nd, Old Tinley Pub. Okay, I'll be there from 6 to 10. Olin will drop by from 7 to 8:30, and we'll be giving away Bears tickets. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. So that'll be a lot of fun. If you're in the South Burbs, make sure you stop by Tuesday, October 22nd. Say hello. I'll be broadcasting there from 6 to 10 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. The big news out of Hallis Hall today was about the injury report. Mitch Trubisky was a full go at practice. Bears won't say it, but the man is playing. He's going to be playing on Sunday. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be playing for the Saints on the other side. Alvin Kamara, I think their best offensive weapon, he did not practice. Curious to see how they handle that. He's been dealing with it, what they're calling a high ankle issue. Nothing you ever want to hear. Maybe they're going to try to sneak in a few weeks off for him so they are set for the second half of the season after they've gone out to this great start. But a lot of conversation over the last few days as we're waiting again and again for Mitchell Trubisky to play his next game. The thing is for me, as we've heard a lot of criticism, and it is deserved, and some of the things that Nagy has said and done are alarming. But the last time we saw Trubisky play a quarter of football, it was Monday night against Washington when he had his best game of the year. Was he great the entire game? Of course not. But that's the other part. We're looking for these perfect games. I don't know that you're going to find those performances. That's something that we have learned about Trubisky now in his third season. Going into the year, they wanted steady incremental progress. Are we going to get that? We didn't get that at the very beginning, but we saw some of that in the last full game that he played. So what is it going to be now? The excuse of he's coming off an injury is not going to be there. It's not. Because if they don't win this game, if the offense is a problem, he's not moving the football, defense on the field for most of the game, there's no excuses. They'll be sitting 3-3, and Matt Nagy's going to put the positive hat on, and he's going to say, hey, we were 3-3 last year, and we finished 12-4. That's not happening again. The NFC is even deeper, and it was a deep conference a year ago. And the schedule's tougher moving forward. The division games look more challenging because Detroit's better. And when you play Minnesota, it's going to be up there. When you play Green Bay, it's going to be up there. And then, of course, you've got teams like the Chiefs still coming. So it's not going to be easy. How lucky are they with health? How much better does Trubisky get? Can the defense without Akeem Hicks still play at a top five level? A lot of these questions that we need answers to. Bears 3-point favorites against the Saints. I can't wait. It's America's game. It's got the huge stage for the 3:25 kick. Actually, we have some really good games on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Sunday night, too. Eagles, Cowboys. That's going to be a lot of fun. Some good ones. All right, coming up next, Julie DeCaro will step in for transition. Her show starts at 10 o'clock. We'll find out what she is cooking for this evening. My name is Joe Ostrowski. You've got 670 The Score. Yeah, I think Herb won the milk challenge. That was a long time ago. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Julie DeCaro is here. Her show starts at 10 o'clock.
Now that I know about the milk challenge, I want to leave.
Herb, you won, right? By default?
Yeah, well, I had drank the most milk.
Oh,
there was
God.
Like only like probably a quarter inch left on the thing, but I couldn't drink anymore. But Rock had expelled his milk also, so I won too.
Was it cold?
Yeah. By
you
the time
can't. It's got to be lukewarm.
What?
I learned that from Kobayashi.
Rule?
Kobayashi told me that.
Oh, so it's easier to digest.
If you drink it cold, it expands in your stomach. You have to have it warm, like room temperature milk.
Is that the worst you've ever felt?
Yeah, because it wasn't that it was coming up as throw up. It was coming up because I had no room.
It was just milk coming up.
I had no room in my stomach, and so my whole, like, what was it, the esophagus was filled up with just milk.
With white milk. Wow.
How'd you feel the next day?
Great. I mean, once it actually digested,
calcium-y?
I was fine. But I couldn't drink another drop or it would have come out.
Well, and we were filming it. And I guess when I wasn't looking, Rock turned the film off because he was worried we were going to get in trouble. I'm like, get in trouble? We're doing it on the air. They know. Mitch knows.
And it was like
about?
Late Saturday night. No one cared.
Right, right. Yeah, our show.
I don't even know
8 p.m. to midnight.
People like if that was even good radio.
Hey, my show's 10 to midnight. What are you saying?
On a Saturday?
No, but it's other nights.
It was like that. It was like what? It was like a 8 to midnight show, you and Rock.
And then sometimes we would stay on the air till like 2 because we're idiots. Who does that?
Oh, people keep calling. Let's just stay. Instead of going to sporting news or whatever we were airing.
Now you're like, as soon as your show's over, you're like out the door.
Pretty
and
much.
I'm like,
how dumb was I?
Puffs of smoke behind you. Bye, Joe.
Exactly. Well, because I also can't stay up late anymore. Like, I was just talking to Ranji. He still stays up till 3 a.m. every day. You do?
I do, but I sleep till like 10.
I did last night. I stayed up really late.
I stay up because I
was like, binging The Office.
I get home at 1.
Still, I'm still on. I think I'm in the beginning of season 5 now.
What's happening? Jim and Pam are together.
Okay, so there's Toby left.
Yeah.
They're together.
Toby. Every time I hear it, that's not, all I can think of.
He did not. He was going to propose the fireworks.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dopey did.
Yeah.
He proposed. So the new HR lady's there.
Yes.
He's in love with.
Yes.
So
okay.
I don't know what happens there.
Okay, good, good.
It's early
good.
On. It's funny.
All right. The Office is funny.
Yes,
thank you for
breaking
news.
Well, I was Tony was wearing his Dunder Mifflin hoodie the other day.
Yeah.
And so I started talking to him about it. He's like, top five show ever. Top five show ever. You think it's top five show ever? Like, how do you compare dramas, like stuff like Breaking Bad or some other shows?
I can't compare like The Office, Parks and Rec, Seinfeld, Cheers, Because it's
in different eras, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were all at the time like the best the thing best. There was. So right. it's like, it's hard to compare.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, no, it's top five all time. Like, I don't think so. I don't think so. Tony's
got a very limited life experience.
This is true. I understood that. Tony was also, what did he say? He's like, well, you can't do The Office now. I'm like, why not?
I know he keeps saying that.
Like, yes, you can.
I don't understand. I mean, if you can
he's
still
saying, cause
do.
He's saying because it's so politically incorrect.
What is incorrect about it?
Well, that's the thing. He, like, we saw Married with Children. That you cannot
Look,
do.
Always
like,
Sunny is still on the air.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. He said that to me, too. And I've been like, I don't understand that. There's right. really, I mean, like Prison Mike and stuff like that. I mean, but you're making fun of him for and being an idiot. It's not, you know what I mean?
And 10 years ago wasn't that different
no.
than now. But like when you go to 20 and 30 years, like, yeah, there are some shows that you'd never get away with some of that now.
Yes. Or movies. Ghostbusters, yeah. The scene where he will not leave Dana's apartment, even though she keeps trying to kick him out. So awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. I don't think The Office is a show that you couldn't do in 2019.
I don't put The Office in that category
no.
at all.
But you're right. You know, it's Tony.
It's everything with a grain. Tony, everything he says to me has a little asterisk floating next to it in the air next to his head.
Tony's life experiences, you mean?
Like, so Tony's just weird opinions on everything.
Like, yeah, and everything with sports, it's like the last few years
yeah,
for the most part.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
Everything that came before, like the last 5 years, is trash. Everyone in the last 5 years is the best ever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except for LeBron now, right?
I know. LeBron's in trouble with Tony.
Did he turn or no?
He said he took the cape. LeBron took the cape off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not happy.
Well, now you know. Now you know. Never meet your heroes.
Never meet your heroes. What? Or tweet at them.
Herb does, and they block them. What do you have on the show today?
Evan Altman is going to be here in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the managerial merry-go-round happening in baseball. And
ask
whether
if that tat's
whether
real.
Whether that freaking Angels tattoo on his arm is real, I don't think it's real.
I think it's fake. It looks pretty real.
I think it's fake. It's too bright. It's too vibrant.
It's too big.
It's Well, I can say that for a lot of his tattoos,
it's
but
from
yeah.
his elbow to his shoulder.
I know. I don't think it's. I know he got something. I don't think he got that. And then I don't know if you read that great piece in Deadspin about Philadelphia Lutheran Basketball Academy.
Okay.
Casey Taylor wrote it. It is a fantastic piece about the AAU and corruption and college yeah. sport or in high school sports. He's going to be here to talk about it, and I'm really excited.
Okay. Cool. Julie DeCaro here the next 2 hours, so keep it right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Tomorrow night, I'll be on You Better You Bet because we're going to have Thursday Night Football. That will be on the Radio.com app from 5:30 until 9 p.m. And then Friday night, a full four-hour show. I'll be here 6 to 10, a lot of Bears-Saints conversation. So what's coming up at college football, NFL for the weekend as well. I want to thank Herb Lawrence, Julio Raseo for producing this evening. Also, Chris Ranji and Sahadev Sharma for coming on the podcast, 670thescore.com. Keep it here for Julie. She's next. Bye.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.